Good morning, and happy Easter again. Glad you guys are here. We're gathered together today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ matter? Well, first, His resurrection is important because it gives us hope for life beyond this life. Because Jesus rose, we too can be resurrected. And second, His resurrection gives us hope for a new life, even now, with a new perspective about life, a new motivation for living, having Jesus as the standard that we seek to align ourselves with, and the Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out, becoming more like Jesus in our own person and character. Now, if this is your first time to Touchstone, I want to extend a special welcome to you and hope that you find a permanent home with us here. Touchstone Christian Fellowship, just a little bit about who we are so that you know who you've, you know, joined up with this morning. We are a Christian, non-denominational church, part of the Calvary Chapel Fellowship of Churches. We've been a part of the Sacramento community since October of 2004. We celebrated our 20-year anniversary this last fall. And we've been holding Sunday morning worship services in this particular location since July of 2016. Our agenda is really simple. We are following Jesus as best we can. That's it. We aren't pushing any politics. We aren't trying to sell anything other than Jesus. If you're like me, before I became a follower of Jesus, you might be a little nervous about what's going to be expected of you today. I want to try to put you at ease. We are a low-pressure place, and that means that we're not going to make you stand up in front of all of us and introduce yourself, and we're not going to ask that you empty your wallet or your purse into the offering plate. So please just enjoy the morning. We're glad you're here. Touchstone regulars, I say this every once in a while, but it's good to remember. Please welcome and introduce yourselves to new people today and make them feel like they're going to want to come back. And as I said before, if you're wondering who the new people are, if you don't know who that person's new for you. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Well, let's get into the Bible study for this morning. Jesus said about himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That is a very bold thing to say about yourself. And if it was anyone other than Jesus Christ who said it, we would write them off as a bit of a cuckoo. But when those words come from the mouth of Jesus Christ, we want to take them seriously and consider what he's saying. And that's what we're going to do today. If you've been with us on Easter morning the past few years, you might have noticed and remembered that we have looked at some of what are referred to as the I am statements of Jesus. There are seven I am statements made by Jesus recorded in John's account of Jesus' life, the Gospel of John. And these declarations that Jesus made about himself, they help us to understand who Jesus is, what he can do for us when we embrace him as our Savior and our Lord and we follow him with our life. Those seven declarations made by Jesus are these. John 6:35, he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 10:9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And finally, John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, notice that none of these are moral commands or commentary. Rather, they are declarations by Jesus about Jesus, who he is and what he does in the lives of people. Too often, Christianity is presented as a system of moral do's and don'ts and self-improvement lessons. If that's all Christianity is, then it doesn't have much to offer us over other religions or philosophies or self-improvement programs. I mean, we can learn from lots of places about how to be a decent human being, how to treat others with respect, how to be an effective leader, how to be a good parent, how to have a successful marriage, and so forth. If that is all Christianity has to offer us, it can be considered helpful. But it's not life-changing, it's not world-changing, it's not future-changing. What makes Christianity uniquely relevant is Jesus Christ himself and how he proves or provides a solution to the human condition, our alienation from God, from ourselves, and from others. That's what we find in these I am statements. Christianity is not about people lifting themselves up by their own bootstraps, trying to make themselves more acceptable to God. Instead, Christianity is about God reaching into the lives of broken people, rescuing and rebuilding them. Well, each of these I am statements are worthy of being studied. They each contain life-changing truths for us to consider. Now, on past Easters, we have looked at the declarations, I am the bread of life, and I am the good shepherd. Today, we're going to look at the declaration that Jesus makes about himself in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Notice that Jesus didn't say, I am a light of the world. He didn't claim to be one light among many lights. Notice that Jesus didn't say, I am the light of Jerusalem, or the light of the Jewish people, or of Israel, or something similar. He didn't claim to be the light for some, but not for others. Jesus makes a very exclusive, all-encompassing statement. He says, I am the light of the world. He's the light like no other, and he is the light for all. To be clear, Jesus is using light as a metaphor here. He's not claiming to literally be electromagnetic radiation in the visible spectrum. When the Jewish religious leaders heard Jesus say this at this time, they started losing their minds because they knew exactly what he was claiming to be by saying this. He was claiming to be the Messiah, the light and salvation of God. To help us better appreciate what Jesus says here, I want to give us the context, the setting, the situation when he says this. Jesus is in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles when he speaks these words that we have in John 8:12. The Feast of Tabernacles was an annual week-long celebration commemorating God's care of the Israelite people while they were on their journey across the desert wilderness from Egyptian slavery to their new homeland of Israel, the Promised Land. It was one of the major annual feasts of the Jews. People traveled from all over to be in Jerusalem to participate. The city and the surrounding area were jam-packed with people during this celebration. And in the time of Jesus, one of the rituals that was observed as part of the celebration was the lamplighting ceremony that was called the illumination of the temple. It's said that four golden oil-filled candelabras standing 75 feet tall, half the height of the temple itself, would be lit each night in the court of the women, which was the middle courtyard just outside of the core of the temple. The light from these candelabras would illuminate the walls of the temple and the surrounding court, making it look like the temple was glowing at night. Looking back, this lamp-lighting ceremony, it would remind the people of the pillar of the fire of God used to guide their ancestors through the desert wilderness at night on their journey to the promised land. Looking forward, this light symbolized the presence and the glory of God, reminding them of the prophecies that spoke of the light of God, the Messiah, who was coming to bring light to those who were spiritually dead and dwelling in darkness. Isaiah 9:2, for example, says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light," referring to the Messiah. "On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah 42:6, "I, the Lord, have called you," referring to the Messiah, "in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Isaiah 49:6, "I will also make you," referring again to the Messiah, "a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." It was during this light ceremony that Jesus made the declaration, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He was declaring himself to be the Messiah, the light of God, who has come into this land of deep darkness to be a light for the lost, to open the eyes of the blind, to free those who are captive, to bring his salvation to everyone. The Bible begins with these words in Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." God's first creative act was to bring light into a formless, empty, dark, lifeless place. And the bringing of his light was the bringing of the creation of life. This description of the condition of this world before the Lord brought his light at the creation can serve as a metaphor for our lives before the Lord brings his light. We are formless, empty, dark, lifeless places. We struggle to find purpose in our life. There's an emptiness in us that we try to fill but are never able to quite get it. We try different things, but nothing lasts for very long. We find ourselves singing the lyrics of that old Rolling Stones song, "I can't get no satisfaction, because I try and I try and I try and I try." It's the endless churn of trying to find ultimate fulfillment. The words of Isaiah 9:2, we read them earlier, "The people walking in darkness and those living in the land of deep darkness," it describes us. We're stumbling through life, trying to make our way, but it's too often that it feels like we are lost and we're just faking it until we hope we can make it. I'm reminded of the words from a song by John Mark McMillan. "And all my life I've been fighting for a place I could thrive, but it turns out all the things I do to survive, they only make me old." People are frustrated and unhappy with the way their lives are. We aren't able to find a way out of our troubles. We're not able to find a solution for making things better. We try new leaders, but they're as confused as we are. They just lie more convincingly than most of us. We try replacing the values that we grew up with new ones, but that just creates new problems that we don't have solutions for. We try going back to the way things were, but all of the old problems are still left unsolved. We hope our technology will rescue us from our problems, but it has created more problems we can't solve. We go round and round and round trying to find the magic door to the magic solution for our troubles, but the solution continues to escape us. We don't like to talk about it, but there's a darkness in all of us too, a self-centered meanness. We can try to use lots of positive, affirming self-talk, but we know the truth about ourselves in those quiet moments alone. We can be awful, and we know it. The Bible tells us that when people chose to replace God and his authority with their self and their own rules, that a separation from God took place that created all kinds of troubles for us. We weren't only separated from God, but we were separated from each other, bringing violence and the taking advantage of one another and the many social ills that we struggle with. We were separated from ourselves. Our psychological well-being was severely diminished. We began to feel guilt and regret and depression and a lack of peace and joy and wholeness. We were separated from the rest of the creation. We were no longer in harmony with nature. I mean, think about it. All of the living things on this planet, the only one that is out of balance with everything else is us. We don't fit. Our very presence on this planet causes problems for everything else on this planet. Romans 8:22 tells us that the whole creation groans under the burden of fallen humanity. All of this and more are consequences of our sin. It's not a pretty picture. There's been a significant drop in recent years in the numbers of people who watch or read the news. People just don't do it anymore. And there are a number of speculations about why that is. But I wonder if a lot of it is we're just sick of hearing all of the bad news and the endless bickering. I have some very good news for us, though. God loves us too much to leave us to our self-made fate. In a similar way that God brought his light to the creation and it brought life to this world, so God sent his light, his son Jesus Christ, into this land of deep darkness to create new life for us, to save us. John 3:16, familiar to many. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus is the light that creates life, spiritual life. When a person puts their faith in Jesus as the light of God, the Messiah, and begins to follow him, he creates life in them. Jesus puts his light into them. The person is no longer living in the darkness of spiritual death and separation from God. They are brought alive to God. Well, not everyone wants God's light in their life, though. Look at what is said in the very next verses following this beautiful and familiar passage of John 3:16 and 17. In John 3:18, John continues. He says, whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. What about us? Do we want God's light to come into our life, or do we love our darkness more than the light? Do we fear that our deeds will be exposed? Are we trying to hide from the light? You know, a couple of things about hiding from God and his light is, first is, it's impossible for us to hide from God. He sees everything. He knows everything. He even knows what we're going to do before we do it. Hiding from him is pointless. It's self-delusional to think that we can hide from God. Second, even knowing everything about us, God loves us and wants to help us. Rather than running from him, we should run to him so he can help us, so he can save us, so he can rescue us from ourselves as much as from anything else. Well, there were some very powerful people in the days of Jesus who didn't want their darkness to be brought into the light. They tried to extinguish the light of God, Jesus, by crucifying him. But they couldn't overcome the light. By crucifying Jesus, they were actually accomplishing God's will rather than preventing it. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless one, died in our place for our sins. And Jesus rose again on the third day, now living forever to intercede for those who put their faith in him as their Savior. Romans 4:25 says, he, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The opening words of the Gospel of John, talking about Jesus, say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. We have this amazing description of Jesus Christ here as the eternal Word, the Logos, who fashioned worlds. And then look at the next verses. Verse 4 says, in him, Jesus Christ, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The clearest evidence that we have of the unconquerable light of God is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we jump down to verse 14 of John 1, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is who we celebrate today, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, the Logos, who became a human being and lived among us, who died for us and who rose again for us so that we can have new life, a life of peace and fulfillment and hope. In closing, Jesus said about himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you recognize Jesus as the light of the world? Have you asked him to come into your life and bring his light and create his new life in you? Jesus Christ died for you and me so that our guilt before God can be removed. He was resurrected on the third day to give us eternal life with him. Jesus invites us to come to him and to receive his light in his life. Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To have your sin forgiven, to have your guilt before God taken away, to receive this new life with purpose and peace and joy that Jesus offers us, we need to recognize and admit that we have sinned and lived our life by our own rules and terms, and we need God's forgiveness. We need to repent, which means we need to change the direction and behavior of our life and start following Jesus. We need to ask Jesus Christ to come into our life and make us into the people that he wants us to be. You can pray a simple prayer to begin this new life, something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Forgive me. I've lived my life on my own terms and by my own rules. I'm going to follow you with my life instead. Please come into my life and change me. Make me into the person you want me to be. E. Stanley Jones said, when I met Christ, I felt that I had swallowed sunshine. That's a wonderful description of the light of the world coming and filling a person's life, isn't it? I close with 2 Corinthians 4:6, which really summarizes what we have looked at today in our Bible study. It said, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for sending your light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, for us. And Lord, I want to pray in particular this morning for those here who have not received Jesus as their Savior. They have not been following him. I pray that today is the day they would do that. Lord, I pray that they would even now pray this simple prayer with me to begin a new life as your child. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Forgive me. I have lived my life on my own terms, by my own rules. I'm going to follow you with my life instead. Please come into my life and change me into who you want me to be. I pray for all of us, Lord, that you would bless us this morning, that the glory, the wonder of the resurrection would fill our heart and our life today. You would encourage your people. Lord, that you would fill this day in a special way with your presence. In Christ's name, amen.